Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you aboard. Glad to have you along tonight. As we have a special guest again tonight, a lot of interviews going on with us being sent home and not allowed to go into the studio. So we're glad to have her along because she's had a busy couple of years and certainly a number of busy days in the past few weeks here. But we're happy to have her on. So let's get to her and start talking to her because she's got a great story to tell. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with great honor that I welcome to the show a Winnipegger who starred with the St. Mary's Academy Flames before moving on to the Manitoba Bisons. But she'd find her biggest successes in a program, that is joining Canada West Conference this season. While her playing days at the university level may be on hold or possibly over, depending on where she goes from here, she definitely has one of the best perspectives on how the Grant McEwen Griffins will play on the ice next season. Not only is she a standout ice hockey player, but she's represented Manitoba at the National Ball Hockey Championships. She's done a little coaching when she's not competing on the ice, and she generally has seen and done just about everything that one can do between Manitoba and Alberta. In saying all that, and she laughs at my comments, the Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, humbled, and pleased to welcome Miss Jenna Thompson to the program tonight. How are you, Jenna?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. We're glad to have you on because we're super interested in seeing how these new teams sort of come out of the gates and how they play. And we never get to see them play otherwise because we're not in Alberta. So we want to see how that goes. I just want to ask before we go on, how's everything going during these crazy pandemic times? Everybody safe? Everybody okay on your side?
Yeah, it's going. It's been a lot, but... Yeah.
Everybody's healthy though. Nobody sick. Nobody, you know,
not COVID wise. No,
okay, good. That's good. You had a bit of a flu bug there, but we'll get past that.
Yeah.
So let's go right back to the beginning. Let's start right at the beginning of the story. Often usually the best place to start when we're talking to somebody back on April 13th, 1995, when a bouncing baby girl was added to the Thompson household. What was life like for a young Jenna growing up, and what do you remember most about it?
Okay, well, sports always. I have an older brother. He is a year older than me, and he's big into hockey. Same with my dad. So I just remember we had a rink in our backfield, and we would go there all the time, and I wanted to learn how to skate there. And then my brother played hockey, and I started in ringette, and obviously I did not want to do that anymore because my brother was playing hockey. And that's when I started playing hockey, and my dad coached me my first 2 years of hockey, I guess. And then, yeah, pretty much it's been hockey, sports.
What age did you hit the ice then? Were you like, toddler age or?
No, I think I played ringette when I was maybe six or seven, five or six. It's bad that I don't even remember that.
Okay, that's all right. It's been a while, I get it. So
it has
okay.
been, yeah.
What other sports did you excel in?
I played soccer for a bit, and then when summer hockey and all that was happening, obviously I chose hockey over soccer, so just ended up sticking with hockey, and that was about it.
That's fair. Let's jump into the craziness then, because we basically will pick you up in terms of where, you know, you started getting noticed a little bit. The high school level, things started to take shape for you as you were a defender for the St. Mary's Academy Flames. You were a finalist for the Winnipeg Women's High School Hockey League in both 2009-2010 and 2010-2011. You were named an All-Star in 2009. And yeah, there were a few scouts that might have been noticing you for the post-secondary level. What do you remember most? What do you remember most favorably about being a St. Mary's Academy Flame?
Oh, it was crazy because my first couple years, like, we didn't have AAA hockey at all. So I went to St. Mary's in grade 9, and we just had the high school team, which was super fun. And, I mean, we were pretty good. We had a strong team. So that was always fun. But grade 11 was when we started the AAA in the AAA league. And I just remember, like, we went to all these tournaments against all these teams that had been playing together, and we were not great. We got our asses. I mean, butts, sorry.
That's okay. That's totally fine. That's a word that's allowed. You can use asses.
Perfect then. But no, I don't know. That team was so much fun. Bummer was coaching me from grade 6 all the way to grade 12. He started coaching me summer hockey in grade 6. And then, yeah, he was coaching me until I graduated in grade 12. So that was kind of special for me.
For those that that may recognize the nickname, head coach Larry Bumstead, who is still in charge of that St. Mary's Academy Flames team as well, as we talk to him usually at least once a year. You graduated in 2013, but I don't know if people realize that just that, like, you were, like, born and bred, like, the true defensive defender. Just 4 goals and 5 assists in your senior year of high school. But you did eat up big minutes in a huge way for St. Mary's, often against the best lines that your opponents put out on the ice. Where did you develop this tough as nails attitude that had some scouts talking?
Honestly, when I was playing before AAA, when I played back in Vicks, the St. Mathilde Vicks, our team was not very good, and we had that reputation of just not being dirty, but no one really liked us. And I just remember, like, everyone else is doing, you get all angry, and then I got so many penalty minutes. Like, my first year midget, I was one of the younger girls on the team, and I was tied for first place with penalty minutes with a girl in grade 12. So that was good. But then I got to St. Mary's, and obviously Bummer does not tolerate any of that nonsense. So I kind of rather than being like a psycho taking all the penalties, just kind of transferred that into my game more. So I guess it worked out for me.
I was going to say, I think it worked out okay. Being a goon transferring to becoming a better defender. I like it.
I guess it worked.
What I think is pretty exceptional is that not only did you play for the Flames, but as you mentioned, you suited up in grade 11 year for, and this can be a ridiculous list, so hang on tight, the St. Vitale Female Midget AA Program, the Girls of the North AAA Program, the Manitoba Extreme AAA Program, and the Winnipeg Falcons AAA Program. So, yeah. did people just call you at the rink if they wanted to talk? Because I don't know if you ever left a rink.
Honestly, yeah, I didn't really leave the rink much. Summer hockey was, like, the best time ever. I am still to this day, like, really close with a lot of the girls I played with back then, especially Girls of the North. Like, we had a team from grade 6 until grade 9 or 10, I think, and it was mostly the same people. But, yeah, no, it was definitely busy. But it would also, my dad knew everyone, so that also helped because people would just call him and be like, hey, we need a player. Like, what's Jen up to?
When you say Girls of the North, like, I think, like I'm thinking, like, Northern Manitoba. I'm thinking, like, further north.
Yeah.
Is it just the name of the team? Like, it was just like,
it was Bummer's team. So his program was called Northwestern Sports Hockey Camp before.
All right.
And so, yeah, he had, like, a big program. He still does teams, I'm pretty sure. Like, younger girls' teams today with the same name.
You committed to the University of Manitoba under John Rempel, with whom we're quite familiar. Absolutely. We know him great, you know, in terms of being around the team and talking to him a lot. Obviously, it's great to have the hometown team want you, and you don't have to name them, but were there other teams that came calling that wanted Jenna Thompson to come play for them?
There was a couple, and I was getting a little bit frustrated at the end of the year. I hadn't signed, and I had a couple – I had talked to some schools, and it was just nothing really was fitting, and I actually didn't know that U of M was even watching me all year. I guess Bummer knew, and my parents knew, and they kept it secret. I guess I don't do well under pressure. So, yeah, I actually didn't know until we played – who did we play? It was in the female sports school challenge in grade 12. It was like one of the last games. And I remember leaving the house. I was so frustrated. And I was like, my mom was like, just keep going. I was like, nobody's watching me. Like, I was like, I'm not going to go anywhere. And then I think I scored 2 goals that game. And then, yeah, I had like U of M. And then I think 2 other schools talked to me that day. And I was like, okay. So, but then I found out U of M had been watching me since the beginning of the year. So, and obviously you want to stay at home if you can, because it's so nice.
Monster outburst of offense right there from you, which is awesome.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from, but
that's okay.
It went away right after that too.
That's okay. You found out and all of a sudden everything went right for you. So that's good.
Exactly.
You redshirted though in 2013, 2014. Now I got to ask, because I mean, we see players, you know, obviously fight through the idea of, you know, getting stuck in the press box and trying to earn a place on the roster. I mean, obviously the Bisons in 2013, 2014, kind of in a position where they were rebuilding / getting things set up for the future. Was there a reason that you were given for the redshirt, or was it just due to a number situation?
I think numbers, and I also wasn't quite at the same level as a lot of the girls that we had brought in at the time. I mean, I was pissed off and didn't get it. But looking back, I definitely wasn't quite as set as some people were. But no, that year was frustrating. Very, very frustrating. Don't get me wrong, because you want to play, obviously, and you kind of just feel not like you're not part of the team, but kind of like you're not part of the team just because you're not traveling, you're not doing really much. But it was definitely good for me. Very good for me.
What? You say good. How is it good if you – I mean, again, you played a bazillion games in, like, the previous few seasons while you were at St. Mary's and all these other teams. Like, how difficult is it to just, you know, to watch and just practice?
Yeah, it's very difficult. Especially, yeah, St. Mary's, it was – I did definitely get a lot of ice time compared to, you know, going from that to not playing a single game. I think I played half of an exhibition game. But – it wasn't even an exhibition game. It was a scrimmage against, I think, one of the AAA teams. But at St. Mary's, I didn't realize how lucky I was almost to be getting the chance to, you know, go on the ice whenever I wanted or be that person to be put out. And then you get from that to going to not playing at all kind of sucks. But then you're like, oh, what can I do to, you know, get myself there? So I think it definitely helped push me in the right direction to where I needed to be.
So the good part is that it motivated you. Is that correct?
Yeah. For the first bit, it definitely didn't. My confidence took a huge hit from that year for sure. But in the long run, it definitely helped.
That's good. I mean, you found some positive through a negative, or at least a perceived negative anyway. So that's always good.
Yeah.
Didn't get to play a lot. Decided... yeah, maybe a change of scenery was necessary. You no longer called the university in South Winnipeg home. Instead, you moved out to downtown Edmonton, where the Grant McEwen Griffins took you aboard and made you a regular part of their team. How did that change come about? Did you even know that Grant McEwen wanted you?
No. So I had a meeting with John at the end of the year, and essentially it was next year I might not be getting as much ice time as I'd like, and he said he would help me, you know, look into other schools and talk to teams. And I knew I think when I was talking to Lindsay at McEwen, they had five or six girls from Winnipeg already, and one girl I had played Vicks with like when I was younger. So I had talked to them, and I had talked to a couple of the other schools because I had talked to them before I signed with U of M. So I was like, meh, we'll see. And then, yeah, McEwen was just the best choice, and I'm so happy I went there.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some moments there that we'll go over coming up here. You joined a team, got out to McEwen, joined a team that legitimately was not very good.
We
talked to Lindsay earlier this spring, and she admitted that it was, you know, she was building and building and building and trying to get this, you know, program off the ground. And again, you're essentially getting it on the ground floor, though, you know, in terms of building it from the ground level up. 2014-2015, bit of a struggle. The Griffins finished fourth in the four-team ACAC.
Yeah.
What was it like going through a season like that after spending so long being a Flame and then seeing the Bisons and going, oh man, this isn't the same thing at all?
Honestly, it was frustrating. Definitely our practices. Lindsay is big into her cardio, and we were losing a lot, so we had a lot of tough practices. But that team, as annoying as it was losing all the time, and I'm not saying we loved losing by any means, but that team, I don't even know how to explain it. The, like, atmosphere, the girls, it sucked, but it also is, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Well, I mean, it brings you together, though, a little bit, because you guys
absolutely, are... Absolutely, yeah. We were, all pulling like, in the I've same never direction, been on a right? team that's been as close as the Griffs ever.
Well, that's good, then. That's good to hear that everybody was, again, pulling in the right direction and certainly aiming for higher. I'm going to ask you a tough question because I don't know if you remember, but you recorded one assist in 2014-2015. Do you remember who it was against?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, no, I couldn't. All the records are gone, and I was like, I can't even look that up. That sucks.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I always laugh because preseason, I'll get like a goal or two and a few assists, and then regular season comes, and I don't know what the offensive zone is. So
it's just a void on a map at that point.
Pretty much, yeah.
2015-2016, after that struggling season and missing the playoffs, 2015-2016 saw improvements as the ACAC grew to 5 teams. The Griffins finished third that year, posting an 8-point improvement and a 14-10-0 record, with the second most goals scored in the conference, notching 62 that season. Do you feel like you guys made big steps and were moving in the right direction that season?
Definitely. It, at the time, it didn't really seem like it. And then playoffs came around, and then I think you could tell we weren't in playoffs the year before because everyone was just focused on, like, the hype of it more so than actually playing the games. And I remember we going into playoffs, I'm pretty sure we had beat Nate the weekend before, and then they just swept us first round. So, yeah, it was really good.
You've been through a couple of, obviously the Female World Sports School challenges and stuff like that. Can you rely on that experience when you sort of are experiencing playoffs for the first time at the post-secondary level? Like, can you be like, oh, this kind of feels like the hype for that tournament?
Yes and no. I mean, especially at St. Mary's, most girls don't really like watching hockey, so we don't really have that many people come to our games. I know, like, during the female, like, the sports school challenge, there was one game where there was, like, I think 700 people there.
Yeah.
Which was crazy, but it's very different. When you're playing university, it's more, I don't know why it's different, but it is.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, like I said, the competition's a little bit better, and I get that.
Yeah. Like more pressure, I feel like.
Again, like the previous year, going to put you on the spot here. You had one assist in 2015-2016.
Oh, yeah. Consistency.
You don't recall who that's against, do you? No?
No. Might have. No. No.
I thought you maybe would have kept the puck at some point and been like, ah, it's my only
point. Oh, no. We were. Nope. No.
Yeah. No, that's not happening. 2016-17, whole different game for you guys that year. Things really improved. You guys finished with a bronze medal though in 2015-2016. I don't know if that's any consolation. Do you still have it?
I do, actually. I do.
Oh, look at you. See, there you go. Yeah. You get a chance to show off a little hard work. Yeah, for sure. But 2016-2017 saw you guys go in and absolutely, change the way the game is played, essentially. Griffins improved to 16-8-0, finished second and just 1 point behind Nate, setting up a first-round playoff matchup against Red Deer. According to my research, it seems like there was a player missing in the playoffs, if everything is correct. Why didn't you play that year, Jenna?
I don't know.
Was it just roster changes?
Exactly. Coach makes the decision and you go with it. So
I'm not faulting you for that. I was literally going through the information and I'm like, wait a minute, there's no playoff stats here. What the heck?
So, yeah, nope.
Watching from the stands, obviously not as fun as being in the game and playing on the game and everything like that, but there were some pretty tense moments against Red Deer College. Every game finished in that best of three first round, every game finished with a difference of one goal, including two overtime games and two 1-0 games. Is it pretty tense watching that from the stands going, man, I wish I could be out there?
Yeah, it's so hard, especially there's one game I'm pretty sure it had gone into double overtime, I want to say, or it was about to. I don't know. It was crazy long. And you could just tell they were so tired, and it's just so hard to watch that. But, I mean, you got to be there for your team as hard as it is, right? So,
I don't know what the rivalry is like in the ACAC, but I assume that Red Deer could be considered your arch enemies, considering it seems like every year you guys play them. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's very competitive in that league because there's only 5 teams, so you're playing the same teams over and over, and you get to know the girls very well on the other team, so there's definitely a lot of – I don't think any team really, likes each other. I'd consider every single team, a rival, as weird as that sounds. It's crazy.
It's a cage match every game.
Honestly, it's really exciting, though. It's so easy to get fired up for those games because every single game, it's a rival game. I don't know.
was there a player that you, and again, you can name names if you want, you don't have to, but was there a player you were like, I just hate that person. Like, I hate playing against her.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say anything.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, it's always interesting. It's always interesting when people are like, "Oh man, I hated that person. Like, she always had my number or whatever." But I mean, like I said, you don't have to name names if you don't want. That's okay.
Definitely, McEwen versus Nate is always always something special. If you're trying to watch a good game ever, would be. I guess next year won't be a thing anymore. But
no, but
they're definitely something else.
The best of five final that year was against Sate, actually, as they upset the first place Nate, the Nate Dukes. I don't know. I mean, you guys weren't interested in letting that upset happen, as you guys took the series 3-1 and claimed the ACAC. Was it a surprise to see Sate there over Nate?
A little bit, yeah. But at the same time, even when teams like, even there's five teams, even Olds at first, they obviously coming in weren't as strong, but they definitely grew, and every team, like, anyone could beat anyone at any time. Like, it's, yeah, it was surprising, but at the same time, there's so many upsets that always happen because every team is so close and you get to know each other. So surprise, yes, but at the same time, definitely not.
So you guys win. You guys go up 2-0, lose game 3, and then win game 4.
Yeah, we got to keep it interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah. No, there's no nothing easy in terms of winning, that's for sure. But, no. What's it like to celebrate? I mean, you guys, you know, 3 years ago, you guys, or 2 years ago, you guys are, you know, fourth place in a four-team ACAC, and now you're atop the mountain. What's the celebration like?
Oh, I can't even explain it. It's crazy. Still to this day, like, looking at the videos and stuff, I get goosebumps, like, whew, it's so much fun. It was the best ever. Like, that team is also, like I said, so close, which makes it even more exciting. Just, I don't know. It's, that team is literally like a big family. So you get to win like that with like your family. It's crazy.
So, how proud of you are you to be the first McEwen Griffins team to win? I mean, you as a player, your contributions to the success of the program and as a program, how cool is it to be, hey, we're the first. We did it first.
It's so cool. You don't think about it at the time. And now that, you know, they're going to be moving up and everything's going on, it's crazy to think about like where we started and even how much like I've changed from that. Like, Lindsay did an incredible job with that program and she definitely kicked my butt into shape. That's for sure.
Put her foot down and said enough's enough.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Weird things go on in people's lives, and certainly I'm not shocked by this, but I was a little shocked that it happened. 2017-2018 should have been another big year to build on for both you and the Griffins, but you took a different path altogether. Having earned your police and investigations diploma in the spring of 2017, you left the Griffins for a new challenge. What challenge did you undertake, and I mean, what'd you learn?
Yeah, well, I was actually just, I, at the time, was like, I'm graduated now. I'm going to go try and do whatever. And I just had found out that my dad had cancer. So at that point, it was, I should maybe, you know, stay home and spend some time with him, make some money, because I've been going to school forever at this point. And, yeah, so I took the year off, and I worked a bit. I still went to school at U of W for 1 year, but yeah. But, yeah, I stayed home, and then I started just, like, I realized, I was like, I need to play. Like, I wasn't over it, and I kicked my butt into shape. I lost, like, 70 pounds, literally busted my butt, and I went back for the year after, and it was the best thing I've ever done for myself.
You also undertook a new venture in hockey in that you were, instead of being on the bench, behind it. Is that correct?
Oh yes.
How did that go, and who was your who were the victims of your very first coaching endeavor?
They are the best. I was coaching at the time, they're the Pee Wee Vics, so double A girls. And I used to play for the Vics, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
And I was coaching with a couple guys, which was awesome because they worked for Evolution at the time, like hockey, so they knew what they were doing, whereas I really didn't, coaching wise, because I always had to argue with coaches and stuff, right? So no, it was so much fun. I get now why Lindsay makes decisions that she does. That's for sure. Even I mean, coaching just that age.
Okay, hold on. But if you are okay, hold on. You were if you like to argue with coaches, that means you probably argued a lot with your dad who coached you, and then probably argued a lot with Bummer who coached you. What?
I didn't argue with Bummer so much. Okay. He would put me in my place if I argued with him. I didn't really argue with Lindsay ever either. But when if you know she makes a call you don't like, she could tell if I was mad about it. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, I think everybody can, right? I mean, everybody just sort of absolutely. Oh, you can see the reaction on the bench when somebody makes a decision. You kind of go, oh, well, no big deal or whatever. But to that person, you're a little bit of burning inside at that point, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I mean, obviously, and again, I'll say this only because I think it's super cool. You weren't quite ready to shelf the hockey stick, though. You went out and you joined the Manitoba Rage ball hockey team. You guys went to the Women's A Nationals alongside some pretty important names. Your longtime friend, Carly Jewell, former Bison star Maggie Litchfield-Med was on that team. A couple of Olympians named Bridget Laquette and Jocelyn LaRocque. How cool is that kind of experience to go and play ball hockey at the Nationals with those names?
I mean, it was crazy. I had played ball hockey with, or I played just beer league hockey with Chantel LaRocque that year. And she asked me to play in just the summer league, and I've never played ball hockey. I've never thought about it. I didn't know anything about it, really. And then, me and Carly Jewell went and played, and then they asked if we wanted to come play for them, even though they already had their full roster. So we got to join, and it was super fun. I mean, we didn't do very well, but...
No, but I mean, Manitoba never seems to do... Manitoba never seems to do well at the Nationals.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But you know what? It was super fun, so...
I mean, did you, and again, I only say this because, I mean, you and Carly were sort of asked at the end there, did you get a chance to play a lot? Did you get a chance to get in there and show off your abilities?
Well, Carly did because she was playing forward and I was not because I also had I didn't hurt my ankle. I was having issues with it.
Okay.
And then it was feeling better and I got to play half of one game and then they asked me to play the next game. And halfway through the first half or whatever, I stepped on some girl's stick when I was running and I sprained my ankle pretty bad. So I didn't play for the rest of the week. So
who'd you get paired with? Who'd you get paired with defensively then? They didn't put you on with like a Laquette or a LaRocque, did they? They were like, just get out there.
No, they just kind of rotated at the time because lots of the girls, it was weird because me and Carly had come in last. So, like, a lot of girls had paid a lot of money, and, like, we paid after, but no one had known that, so everyone was kind of frustrated.
Oh.
So, we were just kind of rotating lines, but it was super fun. It was cool to play with them, that's for sure.
Where was that Nationals that year?
That was at the Iceplex.
Oh, right, yeah. That's just there. Yeah. So, that's all right. Then you had a good time.
There was Iceplex and Keith Bodley, maybe? One of those two?
Right, yeah.
Both of them, yeah.
So, you had a good time doing that, and then fire just keeps burning. You want to go back and... play again, right? I mean, that's what it seems like. From what I read, you had to give Lindsay a call and basically ask for a tryout to come back and play with the Griffins. Were you confident going into that tryout knowing I got a lot of work to do to try and knock, one of these six defenders off?
Definitely. My biggest problem before I had left was just my fitness. Like, I was all right. I could play, but I definitely would have been 10 times better if I pushed myself a bit more. So I think coming back into it, I didn't expect her to give me a spot. I texted her and was like, hey, like, I'm not asking for a spot or like a guaranteed spot. I want to come back and just like show you that I can prove myself to you. And that's what I did. So it gave me something to work to. And it's always nice to prove your coach wrong. So, or show them that you can do something that they've been like pushing you to do.
Surprise her entirely at that point.
Exactly.
I read, and I'll even quote her. Lindsay told Jefferson Hagen of Griffins Athletics, quote, "She returned with a very different attitude in terms of her fitness and the things she needed to improve in the years that she was with us prior. She left, took a year off, worked on herself, and I think she came back significantly different." Just hearing Lindsay describe you as significantly different in terms of the way you came back, does that kind of make you proud of all the work you put in to get back?
Oh, absolutely. I think, the only goal I had when I was, working out and watching what I was eating and literally just dedicating myself to going back. Like, my only goal was just to prove to her that I did it. I don't even know if she knows that, but like, it wasn't, yes, I wanted to play, but I also just like felt like I needed to prove myself. And for like, she even lots of times throughout the year was just like, she definitely recognized that, and that made me very proud of myself.
So, I mean, you get back and you have to battle hard and go through camp and try and figure out, you know, how it's going to work. Obviously leaving home going to be tough with, you know, with your dad and everything. Was it a struggle going back out there and being that distance away from him?
It was. Yeah, it was definitely hard. At the same time, though, I struggled with going back because of that. And it was really stressful leaving, but I knew that I needed to do that. And I know that my dad wanted me to do that, and he would have wanted me to do that for myself. So I wasn't happy here not playing hockey, and I wanted to go back. And it sucked, but I knew that my dad was really proud of me, so that kind of made it better.
I don't think there's any lie. I think your dad might have been your biggest fan. I mean, I know
he was there definitely
sort of every step along the way, so that's always good to see, and glad to see that he sort of gave you the okay and supported your decision to go back. You did make the roster, though, and you certainly showed everybody up and kind of proved Lindsay wrong, and haha, there you go. There you go, Lindsay, in terms of making it. And I think exactly. I think she was pleasantly surprised, because getting you into the lineup seemed to be really important based upon the fact there were a few injuries and stuff that happened, specifically among but there was one player that was injured, and it happened during one of the biggest highlights of the 2018-2019 season, when you got to participate in the first ever outdoor game for the ACC on December 1st, 2018 in Fallon, Alberta, where the Griffins met the Nadukes. Despite the ice conditions being a little crappy because of the snowfall that happened that day, how much fun was it getting out there and playing an outdoor game with your teammates despite the 1-0 loss in double overtime?
Oh, it was the coolest experience. It was it was frustrating, the ice, and it was funny. We had to like scrape the ice halfway through periods. Like, it was snowing. Like, it was a blizzard. It was crazy. But again, when we play against Nate, it's always super intense and it's always fun. And that it was crazy. It was super cool.
How much, you were quoted in one of the articles basically saying that, you know, you would hope that it, you know, maybe promoted some of the women's hockey in Alberta and certainly in the area to try and, you know, promote, you know, more girls getting into the game. How many fans actually came out to watch that game?
Oh gosh, I don't even know, but majority of them were younger girls hockey teams. So I don't think there was as many as they were hoping, but I mean, it was also blizzarding outside. So
true, yeah.
But no, majority of the people there were younger girls hockey teams. They had all their little jerseys and stuff. So that was super cool.
Would you do it again if given the opportunity?
Oh, absolutely, I would. Yes.
What's the one thing, obviously, success, you know, whether, you know, win or loss on the ice or whatever. What's the one thing that stands out the most, though? I mean, when you're sitting on the bench, what's the one thing that everybody's like, oh my God, this is so cool? Like, what's that one moment?
I think it was, honestly, when they're scraping the ice and you're all just sitting on the bench. And at that point, that game was regular season game, and I think whoever came out of that game was in first place going into the second half of the season.
Correct, yeah.
So it was a super intense game, but we're all sitting on the bench just watching the Zamboni do its thing, and we're all just laughing and joking around, and yeah, we were focused and like ready to win, but it was a lot more relaxed and super fun, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, that makes total sense in terms of you know, just seeing some of the, I mean, you watch the sort of the outdoor games that the guys have, you know, in NHL and stuff and whatever. And I mean, it seems to be that moment where everybody just sort of is like, man, like just looking around going like, this is super cool. I just want to know if there was like a moment where you guys were like that too. So 2018-2019 though was a pretty good year. I would say for the Griffins, 17-5-2 record, which is always impressive. But you ended up second place in the conference again. You beat Red Deer College again in the best of three before sweeping Nate in the best of five final to win your third straight ACAC championship with the Griffins. You were second because of the year off. How cool is it, though, to come back and win it all and stand atop the mountain again?
That was the best feeling ever. It's, again, just so much fun. Like, I don't even have words. It's so much fun.
So, it's crazy. I mean, you beat Nate, who you said is always a war, and you beat Red Deer College, which is it even more sweet beating like your arch enemy on the ice, going like, yeah, not only did we beat you, we swept you.
Oh, absolutely. It is. It's the best thing ever. And now obviously you got to rub it in their face a little, not in a mean way, obviously, but got to do it.
No, I mean, that's totally understandable again. So you got two rings out of it, and it looked like, you know, might be time for dynasty time. What happened though, that kind of put it on hold for you?
For this year, sorry?
Yeah, like you have 1 year of eligibility left. What made you decide to sort of take a break again?
Yeah, so in the summer, we found out my dad, because his cancer had spread and chemo wasn't working. So the doctor said 3 to 6 months, and 6 months was Christmas time. So I was still planning on going back up until... I went to Vegas with a couple girls that I played with in Edmonton. I met them out there just because I needed a vacation right before going back. And the morning we were leaving, I was talking to my one friend, and I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to leave. And she's like, no, I don't know how you're going to do it either. And the next day I texted Lindsay. I was supposed to be leaving Friday morning to go back to Edmonton. And I texted Lindsay on Wednesday, I think, saying, look, like, I can't do this, but I was dead set on going back, but needed to stay home.
No, and I mean, that's fair. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to take nothing away from, you know, anybody who makes that decision. It's, I mean, you get a lifetime contract with your family. It's not like you can just walk away from them. So
exactly.
And as much as the Griffins were your family, I mean, I get that, you know, your dad was, I mean, obviously a super, super awesome guy and entirely special in terms of what he did for you and getting into the game and getting everything going for that. So I do want to pass on my condolences, and obviously it sucks losing anybody, but certainly a parent and at a young age is terrible. So I'm sorry for that, Jenna. I just wanted to say, I mean, it's awful. So I mean, I'm happy that you're able to talk about it, because it is a pretty big moment in your life. But at the same time though, it's affected your career twice now. So I mean,
yeah,
let's hope that, I mean, knock on wood, nothing else, you know, bad happens in the family, but that's for sure. But I mean, would you ever consider going back for your fifth year of eligibility? Would you ever give it another shot?
I don't know if Lindsay would like that. But well,
maybe Lindsay's got different.
I for sure, I would love to. At the same time, I don't know. I want to go into firefighting school eventually, and that's a lot of money. So, I mean, if I'm going back, like, yeah, I would finish my degree too, because I have 1 year left, which would be obviously ideal. But I'm also 25 now and getting a little old, so I don't know about that.
Would you go back to coach? Would that be an option?
I would love to coach. I would eventually, yes.
Why do you say eventually? I mean, obviously work and life and everything, but why eventually? If the opportunity came up and somebody was like, yo, Jenna, you want to come coach with us this year? Would you be like, maybe not this year?
Oh, no, I'd be in. For sure, I would be.
Okay, that's good then.
Yeah.
If for people that don't understand, and I think this is the big question. I mean, obviously you were with the Bisons and it was a tough year because you redshirted and you're not really with the team. So you don't really feel like you're, you know, 100% part of the team. But when you get into that team atmosphere, especially for a smaller school like Grant McEwen, who was playing in the ACAC, and not a lot of people are paying attention to the ACAC, especially out here in Winnipeg and certainly across, you know, the rest of the prairies and into BC. I mean, it's basically only, it is only an Alberta conference. What makes the ACAC special for you? What makes it different than what you felt when you were in Canada West?
I don't know. That's so hard. I don't know. For me, it was the team for me. I mean, that team, literally to this day, I talk to almost every single one of those girls. And like throughout everything with my dad, I've been getting messages, texts. I mean, they've sent me cards. They've done so much for like me, myself and my family throughout everything. And it's crazy. That team literally just became my family. Like, I can't even explain. I'm going to cry. But
No, that's entirely fair. I don't want you to, you know, I don't want you to start crying on air or anything like that. But
just emotional lately.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, that's totally fair. So I get that. Who did you room with out in Edmonton when you were out there?
My first year, I just lived with a random girl in residence. She was super cool, though. I wish she was super fun, and she hung out with the team a lot. And then my second year, I lived with Courtney Zajac, who's from Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And then Domi Scher, I can't say her last name because it's Swiss, but she's from Switzerland. And that was that. And then my third year, I lived with Courtney again and Kennedy Davidson. And then my last year, I just lived out in St. Albert with one of my guy friends. He had an extra room in his basement. He just bought a place. So kind of nice to have my own space.
Yeah, no, I was only asking because we always seem to find out that somebody at in terms of whoever you're rooming with ends up being the cook. Who was the cook in terms of those situations?
I cook sometimes.
I'm not trying to accuse anybody. We just find out that there's like usually one person that does the cooking. That's all.
No, I don't know.
Okay, so then what's a pregame meal then? What does it look like for you, Jim?
Oh, yes. Well, me, Carly, Jewel, and Domi always had spaghetti before every single game. Even last year, I'd go to their place before games, and we'd take turns making spaghetti before the game.
Nah, nothing wrong with it.
Super strange, but for the 4 years I've been there, that's what I ate before every single game.
Nah, nothing wrong with carb loading. I get it. That's okay.
Yeah.
In your career, and you can certainly choose from anything you want, any of the places you've been, favorite arena to play in?
Oh, the new one we just got, the downtown community arena.
Yeah.
It's crazy in there. It's so nice. And it's so fun.
And I mean, from what Lindsay said, it's pretty nice to play in or whatever. But the fact that it's like walking distance from the university too, right?
Oh yeah, that was super nice. You literally walk down the street and you don't have to freeze trying to run.
That's always an important thing.
Exactly.
Which arena was your least favorite to play in?
Probably. Oh gosh, the one that we were in before. What was it called? Oh, Confederation Arena.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that place was bad. Good memories, but it was something else.
Just bad because it was old, or bad because it was just not. It was just awful.
It was old, and like there was one time we were practicing and someone had broken in and stolen people's wallets and car keys, and like it just,
oh, geez.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we had nowhere to keep our equipment, so we had to bring it back and forth, which isn't a problem, but it's, yeah, when you have to go to school and park downtown with your equipment in your car, it's gross, and then it smells really bad. Especially with like when you carpool.
Yeah,
there's three of you.
That makes gross. Sense. Yeah,
girls are worse than guys, I swear, for the smell.
I'm not that's your own thing. No, that's your own thing. That's you wore, correct me if I'm wrong, you wore number 11, right?
Correct. My last year I was number 25, but
I mean that's only because you came back and had to rediscover yeah. everything. But any significance of the number 11? Did you wear it for any specific reason?
Honestly, not really. My number is 77 and no one ever has that.
Like, so, no one ever has a jersey 77, or no one ever has?
Yeah, no one has the jersey 77. Okay. So it was kind of just a number 11 was one that I liked when I was younger. And I honestly really, I don't care what number I wear. Okay, some people really do, but I just.
Why is 77 important then? What makes 77?
That was my number my first year I ever played hockey.
Oh,
and I don't know why, I just love it now.
If you had to, and I don't know if you can or if you want to, but if you had to name somebody, who would you say you model your game after?
Oh gosh, I don't even know.
If people didn't know, if they've never seen you play, who would you say is closely, if they know of a player, who would you say is closest to you, to the way you played the game?
Oh gosh. I don't even know. I can't answer that one.
Okay, that's fair then. do you follow? Are you? Please don't tell me that you're an Oilers fan now that you've lived so long in Edmonton. No.
Well, I mean, I don't hate them. No, they're not my favorite team.
Okay, who's your favorite? What's your favorite team then?
Chicago.
Okay.
It was mine and my dad's favorite team forever since Jonathan Toews started playing there. Obviously, jumped on the bandwagon.
That's fair.
And now they're my favorite team still. So.
But you're okay with Edmonton then? You'd go and see them if
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I don't hate them. They're all right.
That's okay. We usually do a little bit of fun to sort of roll through some good memories and get some stuff going for what you remember about certain people.
Okay.
Good for a laugh. So give me one word, one sentence, one best memory about the following people. Fellow Manitoban and fellow teammate and longtime friend, Carly Jewell.
She is just, I don't even have words. She is just something else. If anyone knows her, they just know what I mean. Like, you gotta just love her. She says what's on her mind, but you can't not love her.
No, nothing wrong with that. That's all right.
Yeah.
Former St. Mary's Academy Flames captain and former Bison, Nicole McGlennon.
Oh, she's such a sweetheart. My first year when I was at U of M, she helped me sign up for all my classes, helped me pick my classes, did everything just so that would be easier for me. She's so sweet.
Yeah, I know. Nicole's awesome. We have good conversations with her. Former St. Mary's Academy sniper and former Bison's captain, Jordy Zacharias.
Oh, she's hilarious. I haven't talked to her in a while.
She's still kicking around. I can tell you that. I know that she.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Time, I can only imagine. But no, I just remember she's one of those people that seems quiet at first and you get to know her and she is hilarious.
I can't deny that.
Yeah.
tough one for you now, because I know we've talked a little bit about her, but McEwen Griffin's head coach, Lindsay McAlpine.
I don't know if scary is the right word. I'm not scared of her. But, oh, that's hard.
Again, it can be one word, one memory, one thing that stands out about Lindsay.
I just remember, oh, God. She just definitely put me in my place when I needed to be put in my place. And she was, I mean, she could tell if I was grumpy and she, I don't know why she liked to pick on me so much, but every time I'd walk on the ice, even if I wasn't grumpy, she'd be like, oh, why are you so grumpy today? I'm like, come on, Lindsay. Like, she always had something to say, which was funny. We had a cool relationship that way, but
that's good. No, I'm glad that there was a good relationship there for sure.
Yeah, she's funny.
You said you knew most of the players, so I'm gonna ask you, you may not remember her, but I know she played at least one year against you. Former Red Deer College Queen and newly recruited Calgary Dino, Ashley Sutherland.
See, I don't really know names. I know, like numbers and faces.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I was going to say.
I know some names.
She played D for Red Deer. I just didn't know if you had known. Yeah.
I feel like most of the people on Red Deer that I know are the forwards, just because I pay more attention to them than the just defense. Because
they're usually breaking
exactly.
in on you.
Yeah, I got to know which one of them's coming, because some of them are pretty quick.
professional golfer and longtime brother, Brett Thompson.
Oh, he is. Oh, God. Me and him get along, don't get me wrong.
No, I know, yeah.
We do, but we're very different. I'm very talkative and loud, and he is just very quiet and he's funny, but I remember my parents were out visiting. They came to watch when we were at Confed, when we were not the greatest. Right. And I was super mad because they were late to my game, and I was like, why are you coming to visit me if you're going to be late to my game? And then I went to get my Powerade from them, because I obviously wanted my dad to bring me Powerade because I was like 12 again. And my brother surprised me there. And I started crying on the bench. Aww. In between periods. It was so cute. No, he's the best.
No, that's awesome. I'm glad that I got to get Brett in there at some point, only because, again, he's got a pretty good career as well, being a pro golfer.
Oh, absolutely. So. Yeah, he's doing well.
That's good. That's good to hear in terms of his successes. I know you played in the Winnipeg Women's Hockey League for at least a season on a team called the Herd. So I got to ask you about a sniper that was on that team who had 104 points in 22 games, who played for the Bisons. Her name is Alana Sharman.
Yeah, I know her. Our brothers used to play hockey together.
All right.
When they were younger. So I've known her for a while. But all I can say is thank God she was on my team. She wanted to play defense one game, so we were D partners, and like it was awful. I'm pretty sure we got scored on every shift, It was the guy. It was not good. So we didn't play D together ever again after that. I would go to pass it to our team, and she'd just skate in front of me, and it would hit her skates, and I'd do the same thing, and it was the other team would. Yeah, it was not good.
she was telling us last year that she basically just scored at will whenever she wanted, and I was like, no way, and she's like, no, seriously, I did.
No,
and
then and
we literally looked up her stats, and we were like, oh my god, she does.
No, score. And if you watch, half the time she doesn't even really try. It's just her hands, She just moves her hands, and there's that, and it's in the net. It's crazy. I want to be her one day.
Yeah, well, there you go. You got somebody you can
work towards that. Yeah.
Well, somebody you can work with as well. I mean, if you're
I'll the hire same team her.
I'm going to ask a tough question because I think this is hard to narrow it down to one. But favorite memory from your entire time with the McEwen Griffins?
Who?
What's the one big moment that stands out?
I'm just trying to, there's so many, we did so many things as a team. I think probably the year I came back. Oh God, I don't know. There's so many. Yeah. The year I came back, I was obviously coming back into the team. I didn't know any of the girls really from the year before, 'cause I had only visited once, and I didn't know any of the rookies. So it's kind of weird coming back in, 'cause it was one team and now it's a very different team. And we went to Kennedy's Lake for just team bonding, and it was the best night ever. It was crazy. Everyone was jumping in the lake. It was so much fun, and they just made me feel so welcome again. And I know it sounds weird because I was part of the team, but it's weird coming into that environment, and I don't know, that night was the best night that I've had for a very long time.
No, that's fantastic, because I think that, I mean, again, taking a year off is a tough, it's tough to get back into it, right? I mean, in terms of coming in, and you've missed 2 years of, I mean, you don't know the rookies from the year before. You don't know the rookies coming in. I mean, you're basically 2 years behind at that point. So that makes total sense to me in terms of that memory. We're getting close to time here, so I want to make sure that we get this question in, because I think this is always a good one that players answer. Obviously, you went through some stuff. You said that, you looking back on your time at the Bisons, you kind of figured things out and got things going. What would you, Jenna Thompson, tell your younger self about your career in terms of any advice you could give?
Just push yourself. It's so worth it. It seems so dumb, and it seems such a simple thing to have the motivation to just go do whatever you need to do. I don't know why at the time I didn't think I needed to do that or whatever, because I think I was just comfortable with, going with the flow. But I don't know, just push yourself, because I have way more potential than I think than I've showed, and that's the one part that I regret the most about everything. So push yourself.
Push yourself. No, I mean, that's like you said, I mean, that year off that you took, where you got in shape and you did all the work and you came back and proved everybody wrong and made Lindsay sort of eat her words a little bit. I think that's good, though. I mean, that you sort of figured everything out, obviously, and got back into the game. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, it wouldn't have happened unless you really sort of buckled down and pushed yourself. So, good advice there. Is there anything – I'll give you a bit of a soapbox if you want. Is there anything – and I know that you probably do have something that you want to mention, maybe relating to your dad. But is there anything you'd like to sort of promote, anything you want to sort of, draw awareness to for the last couple of minutes here while I give you the soapbox here? You can talk about anything you like, if you got a charity or something, or that you support or that you work with, or anything like that. So again, floor is yours. Have at it right now, Jenna.
Let's talk about charities here. So my dad had a stroke in January after the 6 months was up, and it was pretty massive. He couldn't talk and he couldn't move his whole right side at all. The biggest thing was trying to get him out of the hospital, because palliative wouldn't take him because he didn't have the signs of being palliative. But then the stroke places, wouldn't take him because they don't have the room for someone that's considered palliative. So, if anyone has some extra money, let's start donating to the Heart and Stroke Foundation and get them some money so that people that are in that situation don't need to be stuck in a hospital when they could be getting better, trying to work on things to make themselves more comfortable. So
No, I mean, that's entirely true. And I think that, in terms of the message, in terms of trying to get some awareness for some good charities that do some good work. I mean, Heart and Stroke Foundation is never a bad choice by any means. Mm-hmm. And certainly hearing that, they run into a few a few problems themselves in terms of trying to, you know, like you said, trying to find sort of, you know, spots for people that don't really fit all the criteria is a huge problem when they, you know, they sort of fall through the cracks a little bit. So yeah, if you, I mean, I'll link to that when we put the show up as well. Make sure that we have all that set up. So if people want to go there
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's something that we can do and something we would, you know, we would happily support if you wanted. So yeah, we'll gladly do that for you as well in terms of getting everything going. I'm going to ask before we let you go, any plans for the future? What does the future hold for Jenna Thompson now?
Oh goodness. I am not sure. I eventually firefighting school right now and just
right.
trying to get some money to do that. So working a bit for now and yeah, nothing crazy.
Are you planning, and again, this is a weird question. You don't have to answer this by any means with any certainty, but are you planning on staying here to be a firefighter? Are you going to go else, but maybe back to Alberta to be a firefighter? What's the plan?
I'd probably staying here.
No, that's, you wouldn't hear no complaints about that. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We are super glad to, I'm going to ask you a tough question before, again, we're legitimately got about 2 minutes left on the show here.
Sure.
How do you think the Griffins are going to do this year in Canada West?
You know what? I think that they're going to do okay. That team can compete, and Lindsay has done so well with them. And that team, they fight, and they don't like to give up. So I think they'll do all right.
Lindsay described the team when we talked to her as being a fast, hard-checking, hard-forechecking kind of team. Is that, do you expect more of that in Canada West?
Absolutely. They have quite a few girls that can skate, and they again, like I said before, Lindsay loves her conditioning, so that team is so well conditioned, and they just go and go and go, and they don't stop. So
that is exactly what we want to hear. We're looking forward to seeing the Griffins come in to Wayne Fleming Arena. Obviously we want to see them play this year, and hopefully, knock on wood, we'll have a season depending on what goes on with everything else. But when they do get here, Jenna, come down to the rink, come down to the broadcast booth, say hi, and we'll get you, you know, chat with you between periods if we have to, and certainly talk to a little bit more. But I want to thank you for doing this tonight. I want to thank you for talking to us about everything going on in your life and everything about your life, and certainly about everything that could be coming in your life. And I can't say thanks enough. The door is always open if you want to come back and chat some more.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me.
Noah, you're more than welcome. Again, best of luck in the future with the firefighting school. I want to hear about Jenna Thompson, chief of the fire chief in the city at some point. But definitely, yeah, you're always welcome back here, and we'll gladly have you back again for sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
So there is Jenna Thompson, who starred with the McEwen Griffins for 4 years. Started with the band, or was with the Bisons at least for a season as well. And I want to bring that up because, you may have heard the news this week that, Canada West is canceling all fall sports, along with most of U sports. The only conference right now that's holding out a little bit of hope, in terms of making a decision is the RSEC, but, that won't affect us in any way, but no fall sports. I know it sucks. I know people are going to have to sort of get their heads around that. I think that being safe and being smart and not putting students, these are student athletes, let's not forget that, not putting students in harm's way is a good idea. And I know this is a tough situation for everybody, myself included. I'm a huge supporter, as you know, of the Bisons, but I think keeping everybody safe is vitally important. So with that, folks, we're going to let you get out of here. I want to thank Jenna Thompson for coming on and talking to us about her career and a little bit about the McEwen Griffins, and hopefully we'll have her back at some point. Let's take you back, though. Let's take you out tonight as we get set for Free Range Radio with Skippy. Let's take you out. Let's get you set up with the goal song from the McEwen Griffins, Riot by 3 Days Grace, here on 101.5 UMFM.